Berylum Sports.
Hello and welcome to the Verulam Sport Podcast. Every week, the team behind the award-winning Radio Verulam Sports Show will provide you with the most relevant news from the local and regional sporting scenes, whilst keeping you in the picture with national and international bulletins from the world of sport. There will be topical debates, regular interviews from local talent, and chats with those big-name guests that are a mainstay of Verulam Sport. As always, this is your show, every bit as much as it is ours. So, check out Verulam Sport across social media and get involved. For now, prepare yourself for this week's action-packed Verulam Sport Podcast. Hello, good evening, and welcome to 92.6 FM Radio Verulam. This is Tony Rice for the Verulam Sport Sportscast Show, where each and every single Saturday between 6 and 7 o'clock, we will debate, dissect, and analyze a sporting topic of your choosing. Because, of course, it's your show every single bit as much as it is ours. And this week, you have given us a super challenge. My word, we are going to analyze what we consider to be the five greatest batsmen all time, across all forms of the wonderful game of cricket. Always nigh on impossible to compare era. So many different styles. The stats are there, but they don't always tell the full picture. So this is going to be an awful lot of fun. And to help me do this massive challenge tonight, we've enlisted one of our cricketing gurus, the wonderful Rupert Garrett from Harpenden Cricket Club. Rupert, good evening and thanks for your time. Looking forward to this one.
Evening, Tony. Yes, I agree. It should be very interesting to hear your points as well and what maybe listeners think as well afterwards. Yes.
Well, absolutely. It's a great shout there. And we're going to kick things off with a few interactions from our listeners because, like I say, it's their show, Rupert, every bit as much as it is ours. We really value your inputs. Sandy Bell tweets in, Bradman, Hobbs, Viv, I'm sure she means Richards, Sachin, the little master, Dravid with a question mark. She goes in parenthesis, Sobers and Barry Richards and Steve Smith and Virat Kohli in contention also. Sandy adds and concludes, and I think it's quite pertinent, good luck. I think we are going to need it because the nature of this is it's so subjective. Even the stats themselves, they crystallize. They're there for history, but they don't tell the full picture. We're going to build in on that. But just a few other social media interactions, emails coming in their swathes. I want to thank Steve from Radlett who emails in. So many all-time greats, but there's only one Don. We'll no doubt talk about that one. Want to thank also Anne-Marie from St. Albans itself, emails in saying there can only be Sachin Tendulkar, the little master, all-time great. He's number one for me, may well feature in this list. I think you'll enjoy hearing about that. And then finally from Peter, doesn't say where Peter's from actually, but thanks for getting involved via email. He says, not necessarily statistically one of the greats, but certainly one of the most entertaining, gotta love Gail from the Windies. So yeah, so interesting shouts then. Before we unpack some big names, I'm sure some of them will feature, your thoughts briefly there on some of the listeners' thoughts.
Well, I think they're all great batsmen and I agree it's very hard to compare. You say being subjective, different eras, different conditions, different, I mean, I'm sure we'll talk about Bradman, but they weren't playing T20 cricket. They didn't play any one day. Gary Sobers didn't play much one day cricket. Would they have been good at that? Well, we might discuss that. Short pitch bowling, limited bounces in an over, overs in a day, all sorts of stuff. Uncovered wickets. Yes, I mean, we're going to talk about some incredible players. I think the one thing to say though is true, Tony, we shouldn't hide behind the stats. I'm sure the stats talk, but then at the same time, talent shines through, I think, whether someone's averaging X or Y. But I'm sure I will quote some averages as having said that. I'm not contradicting myself, but yes.
We love a good stat on Verulam Sports, and some of these guys have racked up some truly astonishing stats. We're going to no doubt reel off a few. But before I invite you to kick off with your first choice in our list of five all-time greats. Remember, this is crossing all forms of cricket. Such a challenge, this one. Thanks again, listeners, for inviting us to dissect this one. What I want to throw at you, I wasn't emailed in. It's just something, it doesn't make my list, but I ummed and ahed about him. And that's Adam Gilchrist. The first man to, I think, 100 sixes in the long day form of the game, averaged in excess of 40, got it pushing 10,000 runs in the ODI test arena, a record-breaking glovesman as well. So his challenge was immense. And for me, one of the most just exciting batsmen to watch. Doesn't make my top five, don't think he's going to be in our list, but just quickly, your thoughts on Adam Gilchrist?
Oh, I agree. I think he'd probably get in an all-time cricket 11 as the keeper and batting at seven, but he'd also probably get in an all-time one-day side, opening the batting probably with Gale. Phenomenal cricketer, and he was a very good keeper, kept to Shane Warne and Glenn McGrath. I agree. I thought about him, but I don't think he quite gets up there. But maybe if he batted, he's a good enough player to have batted in the top five. Had he batted top five in Test cricket, maybe he'd have scored more runs, but we'll never know.
Absolutely. But I tell you what, my goodness me, we'll never forget his efforts in the 2007 World Cup, where I think he got pushing 150 runs in next to no time, and one of only three cricketers all time to win three ODI crowns. An all-time great, but just illustrates the point. So many wonderful batsmen all-time, isn't there? The list goes on. You can make a case for so many who haven't featured, but we're going to have to get underway for real. And it's up to you now, Rupert, to introduce your first choice in our all-time, all forms of cricket, top five batsmen.
I'm not going to be that controversial. I'm going to go with Don Bradman, regarded by many as the greatest player of all time. I think we know that he was one a few runs short of averaging 100 in Test cricket. Nobody else has averaged near that. I think the highest average is something about 60. Okay, he didn't play one-day cricket, I know, but I'm going to come up with some of the stats. England, your listeners will probably know, devised body line to try and stop him. You know, they devised a tactic purely to try and stop this batsman. In that series, he still averaged over 50. So even though they were breaking arms and jaws and stuff, he used to practice apparently by throwing a golf ball against a water tank and play it with a stump or something just to get used to the ball coming back. He played in uncovered pitches, and he had 6 years of his prime career taken away because of the war. So goodness knows. Now, he didn't play one-day cricket. My dear father's not around anymore. When the West Indies were smashing sides in the 80s, I said to my father, would Bradman have played, how would he have played this bowling? He said, I don't know, but he would have worked out some technique to be effective. So my view on one-day cricket, he would have worked out a technique. He probably wouldn't have been smashing it out the ground like Gale in one-day cricket, but he would have scored runs. He'd have been a brilliant batsman. Regardless, one of the greats. He scored loads of triple centuries. His highest one-day score was 450. Incredible player, regarded as one of the greatest Australians of all time. So I think there's probably not much argument. Bradman he's got to be number one in my opinion. Didn't play one-day cricket, but he would have made runs in one-day cricket.
I tell you what, I don't think you're going to get many people disagreeing on this one. Literally, the Don says it all, doesn't it? As you say, pushing 100. That blows my mind. His average, 99.94. Absolutely, I mean, staggering. We're talking one of the accomplishments that transcends not just sport, not just cricket, but sport. That accomplishment, I'll say it again, a test match cricket career of over 50 matches, 52 to be precise. Again, as you say, shockingly, weirdly, with many of his best years taken away from him due to world events, at an average of 99.94. We're not going to see the like of that again. I know maybe another one who might feature in today's chat, Steve Smith, is challenging, but even then is just into the 60s. That average, it just says it all. I know it's not all about stats, but there are some stats that quite simply do not lie.
Yes, no, I agree. And to be almost twice as good as somebody or in any sport, whether you're talking of goals in football or home runs in baseball or you name it, you've got to be exceptional. And of course, every side was trying to get him out. They said England changed their tactics purely against him.
The infamous body line. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those, as you say, even with these nefarious tactics, still to average 50 is astonishing. But, you know, there are certain moments in sport, aren't there, which will always live in folklore, in memory, and it is nefarious. I think maybe took the spirit of the sport out of it, to be quite frank. But it just is a testament to quite how dominant the Don was.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Great player. Best of all time.
Just before we kind of move on from the Don, I love that you introduced the kind of anecdote about him using one stump and a golf ball, et cetera, because it reminds me of another anecdote from another all-time great in a different sport. We were doing a Mount Rushmore of sport in a recent Verum Sport podcast, and of course that had to feature Muhammad Ali. And as a child, Ali legendarily had people, the neighbours, his brothers, throw stones at him as a child. I mean, it sounds borderline insane, but it's that sort of commitment, that finding a different way to use the environment, so that then when you translate into a regular, in Ali's context, a ring, obviously in Don Bradman's arena, the wicket, it's just, you know, he's already got his art down. I love that commitment to excellence at a young age that these all-time greats demonstrate.
I agree. Can I put an anecdote? Gary Player, one of the great golfers, said, the more I practice, the luckier I get. So, yeah, so whether you're throwing a, having kids throw stones at you to improve your movement, or throwing a golf ball against a water tank, the more you practice, the better you're going to get, and it pays off for those incredibly talented players.
So, you know what, that's one of my all-time favourite quotes. I think it's very pertinent to us all. And it applies to my first choice, I'm sure. Sachin Tendulkar, the little master, was a colossus in cricket. And again, one of those names that transcends the awesome sport of cricket. He is the highest scorer in international cricket in both test and one-day forms. The only player to score 100 international centuries. The first player all time to score a Doubleton in test and one day ODI international cricket, and accumulatively 30,000 plus runs. I'm going to say that again, because whilst his average wasn't Don-esque, it was immense, averaging 53.78 across the test arena, which encompassed over 200 matches, and 44.83 in the ODI rankings. Again, he tops both of those all-time. So you think of some of the all-time greats to play the sport of cricket, to be immense batsmen. Tendulkar, the little master, is the giant overseeing them all. An accumulation of in excess of 30,000 international runs. He made his debut incredibly young, a real prodigy, 89, age just 16, against Pakistan. The guy is just an absolute genius. The little master befits him. And again, it's not all about stats, but just career accomplishments. In 2002, he was ranked by Wisden as the number two best test batsman all time before the aforementioned Don, and second best ODI international behind Viv Richards. A shout from, of course, one of our listeners, who was a great in his own right. Winner of the 2011 World Cup. His first win in, he played in six or seven, really, World Cup finals, losing six of them, winning one. He was named the all-time Test 11 Wisden's start in the all-time Test 11 in 2013 in Wisden's 150th anniversary almanac. And it was just an idea, though. We talk about some sports stars who transcend their sports. He, in 2013, achieved the Bharat Ratna, which is India's highest civilian award. And again, maybe more commonly recognized and maybe resonates with nearly us all. In 2010, he was listed in the 100 most influential people in the world in Time magazine. as I say, the stats here surely don't lie. I know it's not all about stats, but just one of the all-time greats, a really great gentleman too, and a true asset and a credit to India. My man, Tendulkar, makes the top five all forms of cricket for me. Your thoughts on the little master, who I think maybe better dubbed the little maestro.
I think you're right. Yeah, what a player. And I think people might not realise the pressure he's been under for most of his career.
He's David Beckham-esque, isn't he, in India?
This is probably know that cricket in India is what soccer is over here, but even more fanatical. I mean, as and when they lose to Pakistan, captains have had their windows of their houses stoned. So he had that pressure on him all that time. He started when he was 16, as you say. He scored runs all over the world. One little anecdote I remember, he was playing in Australia and he was getting out outside off stump, or he may have had an injury anyway, and he went out to bat and he didn't play the off drive, and he scored all his runs through the all his bounds through the leg side, and he still got 100. And to this day, purists are going, one of the most incredible innings. It's a bit like someone going out saying, right, I'm only going to, you know, score with headers, I'm not going to score with my feet, if that's a good analogy. It was an incredible innings. And he scored runs all around the world. Okay, he scored a lot of runs in India, but he scored runs in England, in Australia, New Zealand, everywhere he went. He's saying a really popular guy. But hundreds in international cricket. And for that, and the pressure by the end was incredible. And yes, I think he won the World Cup with India in India, but amazing player. Yes, got to be right up there. He didn't make my five, but then, well, you know, I'm probably going to upset any Indian listeners you have, but what a player. You'd be in a World 11, or absolutely. At the second World 11 for sure.
Do you know, honestly, just astonishing technique. He had all the shots. And sometimes one of the great things about sports and here in cricket is when you get an era where two greats, all-time greats, collide. And I just loved the respect and almost the honours even battles that he shared with the legendary Shane Warne. Just they really seemed to really mutually understand one another. And Warne dismissed him numerous times, many, many times. As you say, Tendulkar mastered Warne many, many times. I think it was honours even. But I just love their battles.
Yes. I think Tendulkar, okay, yes, people remember, many years, he was carrying that Indian batting side as well. If he didn't get runs, they wouldn't get runs. Yes, they had a golden patch when Dravid was playing as well in Ganguly. But for a lot of the time, Tendulkar was carrying the weight of India's responsibility on his shoulders. And more often than not, he performed to the pressure. To have that in every game you're playing, aside from when you're at home, you're being idolised. Yes, great battles with Shane Warne. Great battles in England, really, with the seeming ball against Ian Botham and co. But a great player. And not a bad leg spinner, actually, because he was probably too tired from spending so much time batting. And I'm sure he was very popular. I know he was the first overseas player to play for Yorkshire over here in the UK. And while I think he didn't score that many runs, he was incredibly popular. And has got a lot of friends up in Yorkshire as well.
Just before we move on from Tendulkar, and again, I've advocated him, and he certainly makes my list. No questions about it. I just want to just slightly advocate the devil here, get your take on this. You mentioned the pressure that he was under. That was a given. But it seemed to be amplified when he was skipper. We've spoken, haven't we, of course, about the important role and the real true sense of a captain in cricket and all that pressure that it entails. But two terms as the captain of India, 25 test matches with just a win percentage of 16%, over 70 ODIs as skipper with a win percentage slightly better, just beyond 31.5%. But the little master never seemed to bring his A game when he was the captain. Do you think that was just that little nudge of pressure that even his broad shoulders couldn't take?
Yeah, yes. But I think that's Bradman wasn't the greatest captain. Gary Sobers wasn't the greatest captain. Ian Botham wasn't the good captain or the greatest captain. So I think it's asking a huge amount for these incredible players. You know, Virat Kohli is probably regarded as now being a very good captain, but you know, let's see. They said India haven't got to number one in the world with him as captain. It's a real challenge. I think unlike other sports, being captain of a cricket team, you do have a lot of pressure on you, especially in the media environment now. After every day's play or every test match, mm-hmm. they expect it to come out and things have gone wrong. So, yes, he wasn't great, and it probably did affect him a little bit. I think it's one of his small regrets that he didn't be more successful as captain. But that's minor thing, though. He still scored. I don't know what his stats were when he was captain, but you say they did dip a little bit. But he's still an incredible player.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't sing his praises high enough. But moving on now. So we've introduced two into a top five, all forms of cricket. And as always, this is your show, every bit as much as it is ours. So I know there's going to be people that we've not selected that you would be adamant makes yours. Do continue to keep involved. Love to hear from you always. Tweet us at Verulam Sport. Keep involved. But moving this one on now, who makes the list for you number three in our top five?
This might be quite a surprise to some people, but I'm going with Gary Sobers. Regarded as the greatest all-rounder of all time. And people might be going, well, hang on a minute, why was he that good a batsman? Well, he was. He also happened to take 235 test wickets, ignoring that though, but he made 8,000 test runs mm-hmm. and he scored 2,600s in test cricket. For a long time, he had the highest test match score, 365 not out, which he scored against Pakistan when he was quite young. People will also know he was the first player to hit six sixes in an over in England, playing for Nottinghamshire. He also helped South Australia in Australia. Australia and Sheffield Shield in those days, very few overseas players still didn't play in Sheffield Shield cricket. And Sobers came over, helped South Australia win the Sheffield Shield. He played a lot of league cricket over here in the Midlands, was incredibly popular, an amazing cricketer. And I think his batting average in test cricket was over 57.78. So anybody over the age of 50 is a very good player. If you're nudging near a 60, you're an exceptional player. I think, he was good enough to bat in the top five all the time. He obviously alternated. Again, we mentioned this now, wasn't the best captain. Mm-hmm. He once apparently set a sporting declaration to England. England got it. But what a player. And apparently, not really relevant maybe to, but apparently he liked to bet and he liked to drink, which I think, I'm not condoning that by any way, but I think to be able to go and maybe have a night on the tiles and still go out and score a test 100 makes you an even more special player.
Do you know what I really like about that point? It kind of brings into mind what I was thinking as you were listing all these greats about Gary Sobers, because I've got to be honest, it's a player I'm always aware of, an absolute legend, but never actually witnessed much play. It is, again, wonderful that this crosses all eras, because, again, debating eras is just, it's so nominal sometimes. But I love that that you introduced this legend from a different era. And, 8,000 plus runs, averaging pushing 60, as you say, doubles up as a wicket-taking threat as well, over 200 wickets at Test Arena. But again, you mentioned the average of pushing 60. It's actually the fifth highest all-time for batsmen who've got over 5,000 runs. Mm-hmm. So it's just an astonishing fact. And again, to have that double threat with the bowl is absolutely amazing. Was he originally more of a bowling-focused player and then kind of the bat called him, or was there always that kind of even spread in his talent?
I think he was always good at everything. He was, he was a brilliant fielder. He could also bowl seam up and spin. I think he's one of those kids probably, you turn up and they say, who wants to keep wicket? He probably said that and do well. I don't know the answer to your question, but he was incredibly good at all three. Also want to mention, if I may, Tony, he played on uncovered wickets. And so people don't, some of your listeners may not realise, uncovered wickets, some wickets were almost unplayable, but he scored those runs. Now, Tendulkar, brilliant player, but again, most of his innings were done on covered wickets. So I'm not decrying Tendulkar, but I think the older players, and one player that I asked my father again, who was the best player he ever saw live, a name that not many people will know. He said a guy called Wally Hammond, who's probably one of England's best ever players. He didn't make my five, but again, he averaged over 50 in Test cricket. played for Gloucestershire, scored loads of runs. But I think, last time I'm going to mention it, but if you play on cover wickets, when the ball's flying around, makes a huge something to consider.
I think, again, that's such a good point, because people with sort of, you know, only recent memory focus when it comes to sports, anyways, we don't actually realise how privileged our modern athletes are with the sports science advances that are going on ever further, with the technologies that are in place. You know, you just have to look at old footballs. To me, just even the thought of kicking that makes me shudder. And, you know, the world has changed. It's advanced. We call it progress, and we salute all the greats, and we don't diminish their achievements. But again, it's hypothetical. We can never know. But you do sometimes wonder, what would these old-time greats have been capable of with the luxury of sports science, with covered pitches? And I think that's a fascinating point. I'm delighted, Rupert, you brought Sir to give him his full title.
One quick more point, though. Yeah. I was reading about Sobers tonight, Tony. When he was playing league cricket, he got a reasonable wage, but he used to be topped up by doing the club doing a whip round the spectators. And if he did well, he made more money. And apparently when he was playing the Midlands League, when there wasn't a game, he was still allowed to go and play in the Yorkshire and Lancashire League. And he preferred that because he got more of a whip round when he performed well, which he nearly always did. So he was getting a whip round. Even though he was quite a test cricketer, he was having to get a whip round to supplement his wages to probably go and spend on the horses and on the drink. But that's another story.
But I tell you what, goodness me, he earns every single penny. An all-time great. I'm delighted, Rupert, you brought Sir Garfield Sobers into this mix. Again, this is a debate. It's a natural thing. There's no real rights or wrongs, but it is a tantalising list that we're bringing to the table. However, I'm sure there are names that we are not going to bring up and that you think should be in. Continue to keep involved. Remember, it's your show. Every single bit as much as it is ours. So do tweet at Verulam Sport. Keep involved. Before I go to an appropriate segue after your wonderful Garfield Sober, a name that sprung to my mind, actually, when you were talking there, it hasn't made my top five. I know it's not made yours. I'm sure it would have made many others, is our very own Alistair Cook, who, you know, I think in terms of Test Match Arena, is fifth all time. What a great fairy tale conclusion. 12,472 runs at an average of over 45. But what's astonishing about that, number one is the longevity. Number two, we talked about the challenges of doing it as captain. For the most of his career, he did that. But out of everybody that we're going to go through, still a few more for us to dissect tonight, he's the highest ranked opener. And, you know, the challenges of opening, Rupert, I'd like your thoughts briefly. I'll move on and segue from a Caribbean great and Sobers to another in a moment. But just quickly, your thoughts there on our own Alistair Cook.
Well, I think you're right, yes. I mean, you're opening, you're facing a new ball. So you're facing probably the best bowlers with a new ball, and it's going to do more. And Cook's concentration, I mean, he scored double hundreds and triple, well, anyway, double hundreds all around the world. So an exceptional player. And then people say he only had two or three shots. Well, to score how many 1,000 runs he did with only two shots. Yeah, and he wasn't as flamboyant as the other batsmen we've been talking about. So what? His job was to, opener's job is to blunt and seal the new ball, stay in and provide a base for your batsmen 3, 4, and 5, who tend to be your best players. But yeah, what a player. The longevity. And he did it all over the world as well. Mm-hmm. He scored runs in Australia. He scored one of the highest amount of runs by an English batsman over there. Not many batsmen score runs in Australia. He scored runs in India. He scored runs everywhere. Yes, incredible batsman. Probably getting an all-time England 11 as opener, possibly, but doesn't make. Again, and he probably, in this scenario, he himself would say one day cricket wasn't his main forte. So what? You know, one of the all-time great test players. So that probably, you know, that slightly works against him in this situation. By the way, I just say Sobers didn't play much one-day cricket, but the fact he hit six sixes, he would have definitely scored runs in one-day cricket. Cook, phenomenal player. Yeah, makes the all-time England Test 11, but not, I'm afraid, the top five of all time.
Now, again, he didn't make my cuts, but again, I'm delighted we were able to just pay a little bit of homage to a man who, even now, we're still feeling the absence from. But a man who is fondly remembered and is one of the all-time greats now. Another great Caribbean star, Brian Lara, is my next in our top five. Still, Brian holds the record for the highest score in first-class cricket, 501 not out. We spoke there about Cook's ability to stay put. Well, Lara had all the shots, but when he was in the mood, he was simply unremovable. 501 not out against for Warwickshire versus Durham back in 1994. Remains the highest score in all world first-class cricket. He now also holds the record for the highest individual score in Test cricket, 400 not out versus England in 2004. He got that record a bit earlier, surpassing Sober's record.
Sorry. Yeah.
Against England also. I think it was Hayden who surpassed that. Yeah. So Lara is almost unique in that he was a two-time all-time highest Test scorer. Just astonishing. Again, 400 not out versus England back in 2004. He's also shares the record for the most runs in a single over in Test cricket. I'm sure South Africans Robin Pettersson will not really want to ever see Lara again. 28 from a single over against Pettersson of South Africa. Unreal. Talk about devastation allied with the concentration required to be an accumulator of runs as well. Absolutely phenomenal. And he was supreme in many ways, the batsman's batsman, in kind of evidenced by the fact that his knock of 153 knocked out Australia back in 99, a knock that was rated by Wisden as the second best performance by a batsman in a Test arena all time. And you've only got to hazard a guess that the Don, once again, was number one in that list. Mm. The Don's 270 against England back in 36-37 remains number one. But Lara's winning effort of 153 not out against a tremendous Australia team with McGrath and Warne in their pomp back in 99, voted by Wisden number two best batting performance all time. He's one of only three cricketers. We talk about cricketers surpassing or transcending their sports. He is another one, I think it's fair to say, does exactly that. And it's evidenced by the fact he is one of only three cricketers all time, alongside the mentioned Sir Garfield Sobers and also Shane Warne, to claim BBC's Overseas Sports Personality of the Year. A true legend. Again, could do it all, could accumulate runs, had great concentration, had all the shots and all the elegance of a master like Tendulkar. His stats, I don't think, tell the whole picture. 131 test matches, nearly 12,000 runs at an average of over 52.88. His 34 centuries is the fifth all-time. And in a one-day international career, again, this is all forms of cricket, nearly 300 matches, 299, 10,408 runs, exceeding 40 with an average. Does it all across all forms, doesn't he, Mr. Lara?
Yes. And again, Tony, a lot of pressure on him because the West Indies were probably, they'd reached their peak when he took out, well, he came into the side, or were coming towards the end of their dominance. And so again, if he didn't score runs or big runs in the West Indies, body, so he did that regularly. I mean, I saw that, I wasn't lying, I watched that 153 on TV. Incredible. You said with McGrath, Courtney Walsh survived one over and then Lara hit the winning boundary on the other end. Yeah, he scored double hundreds in Australia. The thing about Lara, I always remember, Tony, is that a lot of test players, Alistair Cook, for example, we talked about, they leave a lot of balls. Lara used to play just about every single ball. So he wanted to score runs all the time. Test cricket, those your listeners will know that often people leave the ball and some people say it's a boring game. You and I love the game and that's part of it. But Lara hardly, he wanted to score off every single ball. Sometimes that cost him because it meant early on he might edge off. But if Lara stayed in for half an hour, the bowlers were in for a very long day. As were those poor, apparently that Durham innings, I think he was dropped on about 20. And I think that slip, and the keeper said, oh, wouldn't it be funny if he goes on to score double 100? Well, he went on to score 500.
Astonishing. And do you know what? I find that point interesting because I look forward to talking to you about the Harpenden efforts a bit later in this week. And again, a big thank you for the invite. It was great to be there last weekend. We talked catches with matches. Unfortunately, too many drops from Harpenden's perspective. But we'll talk about that another time. But yeah, you made a really good point that Lara was dropped for 70 by England in that 400 not out knock. It is an amazing ability, isn't it, for these great batsmen to put that ball behind them. Because again, you know, the amount of times that in all of these great knocks, in all the innings that they ever face, they are going to be balls which are just too good. And they just miss it. The concentration required to be an elite batsman, let alone one of our top five, it's off the wall, different level, special, almost superhuman-esque, isn't it?
Oh yeah, very much. Yes, you might play a miss. You might get a bit of advice from the bowler that you're not as good as you think you are. if you're playing abroad, you're going to get a lot of abuse from the crowd. English crowds now are very, the Barmy Army aren't particularly friendly to the opposition. So I agree that they're incredibly powers of concentration for them. Some of them, use that to smash the all for four. Alistair Cook probably used it to just nudge one off his hip, down the fine leg for another single. Tendulkar just probably, knew the weight of India was on his shoulders and it meant to be another glorious cover drive. Yes, they have huge powers of concentration and they've got to do it for hours and hours on that. Well, some of them do it for days on end, don't they? Some of them bat day after day. Just either win a test match or save a test match. So I think test cricket is so great. Yes, you want to win, but sometimes some of the great results have also been achieved in a last stand trying to save a test match. Most of our players have been talking, winning, these players win games, but often they'd have had to probably defend as well, and they were perfectly capable of doing that as well.
They had all the shots. That's why they make our list of the top five. But again, the nature of this is subjective. This is just our opinions. I know you've got loads yourself. Do continue to tweet in at Verulam Sport. Who do you think should make the top five batsmen all time across all forms of cricket? But right now, again, it's great to have the listener's perspective, but it's even better, Rupert, to get yours. Concluding our top five tonight, you've got another one from the recent memory,
okay,
who's an all-time great.
Okay, well, this is very hard. I mean, I haven't gone for Virat Kohli. I haven't gone for Jack Callis, so I think you mentioned Tony in your list. I've gone for Steve Smith. Current player, okay, he blotted his copybook a couple of years ago when he was captain, but we're talking about his batting, not his captaincy. He's averaging over 60 currently in Test cricket. He's scored Test hundreds all over the world. He's scored a lot in England. Virat Kohli hasn't scored many hundreds in Test cricket in England. Those of us will know the last Ashes over here, Smith almost, it was a drawn series and obviously down to Ben Stokes, but Smith's batting was incredible. And even after we've been hit on the head, he still came back and scored runs afterwards. Yeah. 2600s, he's been talked about as the next Bradman in Australia, which is a huge sort of compliment to him. He's got an odd technique. His technique is not in the coaching manual. The other players we talked about all have, Tendulkar, Lara, Sobers, Stylish, high backlifts. Mm-hmm. Well, Steve Smith's technique is coaches still can't believe it. He moves around too much. He's got an incredible eye. And he scores big, big runs. And he has scored runs in one-day cricket. He has scored runs in the IPL. I'm just looking at my crib sheet now. He's averaging 42 in one-day cricket, which is a pretty high. He scored 900s. He hasn't got 100 yet in T20, but he scored 90. But
it's pretty rare, though, isn't it, a ton in T20?
Yes. But I'm sure he'll be looking to do that soon. So he's only 31. He's got a huge career ahead of him. He's probably going to score 10,000 plus runs. Some think he might catch Alistair Cook. An incredible player. I mean, he turns test matches, and to be the best player in the Australians are so cocky, but to be the best bat in Australia, you've got to be an exceptional player, and he is.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a wonderful shout. Again, I'm just going to, for the purposes of tonight's, erase from memory and focus the captaincy controversy, because it may well blot his copybook, but it doesn't detract at all from his accomplishments with the bat. And I love the fact that you've illustrated and analysed greatly this oddity of a technique. And I think this is a real lesson, because sometimes for youngsters, you know, you're overcoached, hypercoached, and there's reasons, isn't there, that they are textbooks and coaching manuals. But sometimes you just got to have a gut feeling that this is going to work for me. This is natural for me. And I think in a way to kind of have that will to stick to that and then prove the world and kind of tear up the copybook or the textbook is astonishing. Just quickly, your thoughts on that unusual technique again.
Yeah, it's amazing. He's found a system that works for him. And it must be incredibly hard for bowlers to bowl to him because they're not used to it. And he walks across his stumps. And then if you bowl wide of off stump, you look through the covers. You bowl at his stump, to whip you through mid-wicket. I think his strength of character, though, and yes, we shouldn't talk about the South African Day Barkley, but I did go to the first test of the Ashes. He and Warner, rightly or wrongly, I'm not going to pass judgment, the vitriol they got from the crowd was amazing. It was a bit like going to a football game and the home team, the away team scoring. It was incredible. But in that game, first test, Australia was something like 120 for 7, and he got a brilliant 100. And proud of the man. At the end of the series, the England crowd were clapping him. Okay, Mickley beat on the head and knocked out and whatever. But for your talent to turn a crowd that wanted you to more than ever underperform. I think the English crowd would still boo David Warner, and I think they'd probably still boo Smith, but not more out of not respect, but they know that if you get Smith out, then you've got a chance to win the game. Whereas Warner, I think, well, let's not get into character, but Warner's not the same class. I think I was a player, I was a man as Steve Smith. So I think, yes, incredible powers of concentration, incredible powers of mentality, incredible belief in his technique. Now, will his eyes be able to hold up and keep doing that? Time will tell. But he's already, and of course, that ban, he missed a year of his best cricket. So he probably missed about 10, 15 games when he was in his prime. Well, potentially in his prime. So, very unusual technique, but incredibly effective.
What I think is astonishing about this as well is originally selected for Australia as a bit of a wristy, a spinner, and he's still obviously got that capability. But it almost seems to be almost like the inverse of Shane Warne, who originally was a batsman that identified and then discovered this genius with the wrist spin. So again, just goes to show you what we're capable of and what talents lie unearthed sometimes.
Yeah, well, apparently Justin Langer, Tony, the Aussie coach, when he started off coaching, he was sent to go and look at some of the young Aussie batsmen, and he saw Smith batting in the nets, and apparently Langer went out and said, well, this guy can't bat. His technique's all wrong. He said, there's no way we should pick him. And he said that was, for him, a very valid learning point. Just because someone hasn't got the total perfect style or technique doesn't mean you're not going to make it. I think we can all learn from that in all sports.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think it's a great case, and I think he's a very worthy entrant into our top five. It's an astonishing array of all-time greats, though, just in this imminent modern era of which Smith stands ahead. He was dubbed in amongst the Fab Four of this era. England's own Joe Root's fallen by the wayside a little, maybe the pressures of captaincy. The great Kane Williamson of New Zealand, and of course the much referenced Virat Kohli of India, have all done great things, but it is only Smith alone who's even worthy of the debate top five, isn't he?
Yes.
Well, as I say, for me, this has been astonishing. And I know there are so many who simply haven't been able to be discussed. Before I close off, there is one I do want to introduce just in closing, really. Because, again, this is the one where stats don't lie, but neither in many ways. I feel as though they almost do him a disservice. I'm talking Jacques Kallis from South Africa, who's the third highest run accumulator in test match history. 166 matches, 13,289 runs, and an amazing average of 55.57. Now, those stats are phenomenal, but for me, he was all too often dubbed an accumulator of runs, sometimes sacrificing that for maybe the better good of the team, maybe a bit ego-driven. I don't think that's fair, personally. I think he's a remarkable focus and will. And also, let's not forget, we've spoken about some of the talent here tonight who do double up. He was a really good bowler, particularly as a youth. Didn't really like doing it in his latter career. For me, I'm a massive Jacques Kallis fan. And much as the way he didn't make mine or your top five, he is the third highest run accumulator. And I think there's something of a Cook-esque feel to him. And I just don't think he gets enough praise, Rupert. I'd like to bestow a little praise on Jacques Kallis.
No, if you wanted someone to bat for your life, I think you'd have Kallis in there. And he's a brilliant bowler and a brilliant fielder. But I'm sure there's so many players we haven't mentioned to any. Viv Richards.
Indeed.
Glenn Chappell.
Indeed.
WG Grace, some would say. So many players. Barry Richards, Graham Pollock, who didn't play much Test cricket.
Ricky Ponting doesn't get a mention even until now.
I know. Ricky, so many players. But that's why it's such a brilliant game. And so we've got different generations. I'm sure some of the old listeners will say, oh, we've missed out. You know, some will say Jeff Boycott. Well, it doesn't get in my side, but, you know, he did an incredible job. Again, somebody with not a huge amount of talent, but he worked so hard and turned himself into a world-class performer. Again, doesn't make the five, but what a hard-working player he was. Didn't maybe have a natural talent, but he turned himself into a world-class player. I think these great players there, they have a natural talent, but they work even harder, Tony, to make themselves even better. And in a sense, maybe widen the gap even more from them and maybe some of the mere mortals.
Tell you what, they're all gods in the cricketing sense. And it's been fascinating to unpack a top five batsman all time. As you rightly say, so many unfortunately couldn't make the cut. Five is a finite number. Keep involved with your opinions. Who didn't make the list? Who should have? Tweet us at Verulam Sport. Make sure you're with us next Saturday, 6-7. We're yet again, by dint of your choosing, we will be debating another topic, putting it under the microscope. I want to say a big thank you again, Rupert, and I look forward to a bit later on in the week chatting all things Harpenden with you. But thanks for your time today.